is Amy Huckluck, FWP's legal counsel. Amy and I both serve on the Hunting Trapping Regulation Review Working Group chartered by Director Williams in mid-2017. FWP's vision and guide calls for our regulations to be as simple and as streamlined as possible. For many years, employees and members of the public have thought our regulations are far too complicated and complex and needed to be looked at for simplification. Director Williams' charter asks us to review all the regulations for simplicity, clarity, and consistency with rules and laws. So with that, Amy's going to talk a little bit about our subcommittee, the Enforcement Legal Subcommittee within the Hunting Trapping Regulation Review Working Group. And then our subgroup has identified three items that we're going to bring before you tomorrow, and I'll talk more about those after Amy gets done.
And Mr. Chair, members of the commission, I'll hand out to you a list of recommendations that our larger group presented to the director last December. Those are for your review. They were all approved except the timing component, which Director Williams asked us to continue working on a proposal for. So this just represents sort of one point in time. We've continued our work since then, and like Captain Howell said, we're here to speak to you today about the legal and enforcement subgroup. So what we set out to do is clearly identify what are statutes and what are commission rules and the regulations, include that MCA code for reference, and change the commission adoption language to gain a greater understanding for the public, for enforcement staff, for answering questions, and to make sure that there was a level of consistency with what had actually been adopted. And the example that we come back to that kind of kicked off our whole group's formation was motion tracking devices, trail cams. And in an effort to clarify the regulation for the public over the years, the language, you can actually go back and see in the sets of regulations that came out every year, the language gradually changed over time from what was actually in the law to the point where it said it was unlawful to possess a game camera, a trail cam, during any commission-adopted hunting season. We were approached by the public, we were approached internally by our own staff, and even by legislators prior to, I think it was the 17 session, and asked about this. And we looked at the statute, and all that said was you couldn't use a motion tracking device basically for hunting purposes. So that was very different than what was printed in the regulations, and it illustrates sort of our entire purpose. There have been other examples as well. Along with that, we see a need moving forward, and we're in process of developing with our IT staff a commission rule tracking system. And right now, these books are the commission rule tracking system. To find out what the commission passed over time, you have to go and flip through these minutes. And the concept is that eventually we'll have a database. It'll be keyword searchable. It'll have a number associated to assist us in prosecuting tickets and also just in informing the public. It'll be more like a legislative history. So it would be Commission Rule 2020-1, for example, and you could go back and see any amendments over time that it had occurred with that commission rule. Ron, am I missing anything? So that's sort of the summary of our group, and then Ron was going to talk about the three proposals that are going to be before you tomorrow, and then if there's questions by commissioners, we'd be happy to talk about those things.
Another item that was brought up earlier during the break that our work group identified that wasn't the same as what was adopted in the regulations was archery equipment. And recently we've changed the language in the archery equipment section of the regulations to match what was truly adopted by the legislature at the time. And specifically, that was allowing a camera device to be attached to a bow. For years, the regulations have said any electronic device cannot be attached to a bow. But what was adopted by the legislature at the time was any electronic device that gives someone an unfair advantage for taking or locating of an animal. So you'll see we found that error in after the deer, elk, and antelope regulations were published, so you don't necessarily see the correct language in the deer, elk, and antelope, but you'll see it in subsequent printings of the deer, elk, and antelope regulations, because that's really where it should be mostly. Is there any questions about that before I move on to other things?
My question is unfair advantage. How are you going to take into account, you know, some of these cameras that you can do distance, have a distance finder or enhance in low light? Are those going to be allowed? Are those going to be allowed to be put on the bow and hope that the individuals do not use them? Or how is that going to be addressed? I've heard it two different ways from Hank, so I'm kind of curious.
Commissioner Stuker, I appreciate that question. And to answer it, that's the game warden's job to find those things out. The wording in the language will say that for the sole purpose of filming. So, yes, your cell phone, for example, would be allowed to be on the bow. It's an electronic device. It can film your hunt, for example. We all know that cameras can do, or the cell phones can do other things as well, such as range finding, for example. And that would not be lawful to use that device for range finding. But that's up to a game warden to sort those things out and figure out if indeed what was adopted, the law, is being violated. So we are going to find times where guys are probably using their cell phones to as a rangefinder, but and then we'll have to address that as it comes up. But what is allowed is the filming of the hunt, and that's what the regulations will speak to.
Thank you.
Just a follow-up question: is the technology there now to convert basically your sight pins onto your either your phone camera or a regular camera? I mean, it wouldn't be, I think it'd actually be something you could probably program in if you wanted.
You know, I think as a whole, we need to do a better job of keeping up with technology, something that we've lacked on a little bit. I don't know if that technology is available yet. It's amazing when you start searching, though, Google, what is out there, and I think we need to do a better job of keeping up on things like that. Even with your phone now, you can have red dot laser pointers. Like I said, you can have range finders, so I don't know the answer to that, but I can sure look into it.
You know, because we have regulations in place now, and the equipment is designed so that gets dark, and even though they're somewhat luminescent, your pins go dark.
Correct.
You know.
Correct.
I mean, I down there hunting, I can sometimes still see the outline of the elk, but I can't see my pins.
Right.
So that takes me out of the game, which is good.
Yep.
And it might still be before legal light sometimes if you're, you know, down in the bottom.
Correct.
But if we've got technology that we're attaching to archery equipment that is allowing for that technological device to serve as your sight, we've changed the game, because you can just, it's like playing a video game, you just look on your screen, pull that pin up, you know, the artificial pin that'd be on your camera or on your phone.
I would agree.
And yeah. You could really access vulnerable animals.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, Ron, it just seems like there's an ambiguity there, you know, that will be very, very difficult to resolve in the field by a warden, you know, and it ends up in front of the magistrate and we all go home unhappy, you know, type of thing, you know. So I don't know about how you establish certainty in that, but just having the capability on a bow, you know, and which today or previously we said if electronically, you know, supported, you know, no. But now we're saying it can. So I mean, it just seems like we have an enforceability issue here that we're going to put right into regulation or statute. You know?
Well, I mean, there's many laws like that make that difficult. Our job is not always black and white. There is that gray area that we have to deal with in the field. We have to make timely decisions that are sometimes controversial, but I think we'll get through it. We've worked since that language has been changed. Chief Lowen, Amy, Hank has met with the bow hunters and discussed this in depth and come to an agreement and how to move forward with other things with regards to archery equipment.
And I haven't read the proposed regulation, but is there any discussion on where the camera can be mounted? Is everybody pulling off their stabilizer and putting it on the front of that or adding on to their stabilizer? Or?
You know, that's a good question. There are stabilizers with the cameras inside the stabilizer. So is that, you know, a lawful piece of equipment? We'll have to discuss that. But there's nothing specific about where that needs to be mounted. I mean, a person could have a GoPro on their head versus having it mounted on their bow, and what would be the difference, you know? So,
well, if you have it on your head, you can't use it as a sight. I mean, if you can't line up your, I mean, people that are using peep sights.
Yeah.
If you're trying to line up your peep and your camera's on the top limb, well, that's not going to work.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think there's two different things we're talking about here. The equipment for the sole purpose of filming, and then equipment that's used for having the advantage and unfair advantage of some time. So we'll have to work through those things.
And it seems like location of the device on the bow, you can still have it on the top of the limb and film your hunt, but you can't line your peep sight in.
Sure.
With the camera. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. So within our regulation review working group, we have identified three proposals that we'll be bringing before you tomorrow. The first one I'd like to talk about is the repeal of Administrative Rule 12.6.301, which is the tagging of carcasses. For years in the regulations, it says that your tag, your license, has to be on the critter in a visible manner. There is a statute that refers to tagging, 876.411, and it just says, the statute says that the tag has to be validated and attached to the carcass. Nowhere in statute does it say that the tag has to be visible. So what had been in place is this ARM rule that said the tag had to be visible. Since recodification of our 87 code, for whatever reason, the penalty section was inside this ARM rule, and that penalty section has been repealed. So there's no penalty to go along with this ARM rule. What's important for game wardens is that the tag belongs to the person who's holding it, that it's validated, and that it's attached to the critter. It hasn't been an issue historically for the tag to be visible on the critter. You know, if a tag's underneath black tape, we've all seen that tape rolled around a leg of a deer, is the tag no longer visible? So is the hunter therefore in violation? So we just feel like this ARM rule is not needed anymore. And as we move slowly into an era possibly of electronic carcass tagging, we may not even see tags on critters any longer. So we don't feel that this ARM rule is needed any longer. And then so we would, our recommendation is that we repeal the ARM rule. Questions on that one?
Chairman, sorry to be painfully ignorant, but what is the nature of electronic tagging out in the future?
I might defer to Amy on that one.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Byerth, that would actually be a better question for licensing for Emily Cooper. However, the statutes the laws contemplate the potential for electronic carcass tags in the future, there would be many steps, as I understand, there'd be many steps that would need to be met before we move in that direction. But you already see that you can get a conservation and fishing license that you can display on your phone. So just keeping that potential in mind, that seems to be the direction that we could be moving. I'm sorry, I don't have a more complete answer. Licensing would be a better place for that.
Have other states, Ron or Amy, have other states gone the route of electronic tags yet?
Yes, Director Williams, thank you. Other states have gone this way already. Oklahoma is one that I can think of off the top of my head where they don't have paper tags that they put on their critters. Or they might have the option of either or, but they do. The other states have moved in that direction already. Many states have. It's going to be a new one on us as well, and again, something that enforcement's going to have to learn to contemplate in the field what that will mean. Any other questions with regards to this one, the tagging? On to the next one. The second one I'd like to talk about is the adoption of administrative rule pertaining to two-way electronic communication. Two-way communication in the regulations has been unchanged for many years. It's something that we don't anticipate much change taking place in the future, and we think rather than bringing this item before the commission on annual basis, that it would be better suited to be put into ARM rule where it's solid in there and you guys don't have to vote on it per se every time that it comes up each year in the regulations. So that's the proposal. But with that proposal, our working group has identified that the current language is not completely clear, and enforcement has struggled with what does the previous language mean. I'm going to look at two-way communication. The current language in the regulation says two-way electronic communication may not be used to hunt game animals or avoid game check stations. So the question from enforcement has always been, what does it mean to hunt game animals? When are you hunting? When does the hunt end, even for that matter? So if somebody shoots a deer, for example, and before they put their tag on it, are they still in the act of hunting? Could someone radio to their friend and say, hey, I've got one down, come up here, we'll put a tag on it and field dress it? Most enforcement personnel will say that retrieval is part of the hunt, and so that you're still in the act of hunting. And so technically, if somebody used a radio during that time, are they in violation or could they be in violation? So we've proposed in, I think you all have it before you, we've proposed in 2A under the new rule, we've added some language, and what we've added is while in the act of hunting game animals or wolves, two-way communication is prohibited to aid in the taking or locating of live animals. We don't feel that it should be a violation necessarily for someone to call their friend to say, hey, I got one down, why don't you meet me up here and we'll field dress it and get it taken care of. What we do think should be unlawful is to pinpoint where those animals are to your buddy, to give that unfair advantage to your buddy or to yourself of where those animals are located. So we think that adding this language will help clear things up for enforcement and for the public on when two-way communication can and cannot be used.
Not a question, just an example, you know, maybe. I have hunted in some pretty heavily covered areas and being with a partner or my son or whatever and shooting across a canyon, you know, into a small opening or whatever. And,
sure.
Trying to get that person to go over and check that spot where that animal was standing when the shot was fired, you know, is you're still hunting. There's no doubt about it. But boy, oh boy, is it a convenient tool today to be able to talk about that. No, it's just to your left, you know, or something like that. But
yeah.
No intent to violate the law, just to make Absolutely. Sure that you went to the right spot and hopefully collected that animal yeah. if it's there to be collected. So.
And Commissioner Aldridge, the law goes on to say that the use of two-way electronic communication for the use of safety or other legitimate purposes is exempt from that law. And I would hope any game warden, if you explain that situation to a game warden, they would say, ah, that makes sense. You know, you weren't trying to do anything unlawful or give yourself an unfair advantage. In fact, you were trying to be ethical to see if that animal had been hit, for example.
Ron and maybe Amy, I'm looking at 2B, and part of that sentence or that clause doesn't make sense to me. The comma upon, this is pit dogs, comma upon when the dogs.
Yeah.
You're asking about the new yeah. subsection 2B.
2B, yes.
So 2B is not new language for lions or bobcats. That's the language that's been in the regulations all along. What that means is, I don't know how familiar you are, Commissioner Colton, with bobcat lion hunting, but those individuals do use radios at times to try and locate their dogs and that sort of thing. But so when the law would take effect or kick in is when the dogs are released on a track, essentially, or a scent trail. Then they wouldn't be able to use two-way communication. Hunters wouldn't be able to use two-way communication any longer.
And my concern is the way it's written is kind of clumsy, and I think a challenge of egg would be reasonable. And I
think that's, Mr. Chair, let's double check that it was transposed correctly. Okay.
We can do that before tomorrow.
Great.
Any further questions without the two-way communication? Okay, the last one is the adoption of administrative rule pertaining to kill site verification. Again, kill site verification is not something that we feel needs to come to before the commission each and every year to be adopted. It's something that could go in arm rule, and it's not suspected to change. We do propose language again from the working group to try and clean up any misinterpretations of this rule. Let me think here. So the new rule would say, I'll read you the old, what it says currently in the regulations with regards to kill site verification. As a condition of hunting in Montana, if requested to do so by an FWP warden, you are required to return to the kill site. So this just says as a condition of hunting. What it doesn't say as a condition of trapping in Montana. So wardens have always struggled. Does it mean just hunting? Does it also mean trapping? So the proposed language for the new rule would read, at the request of a game warden, it is required to return to the kill site of any game animal, game bird, wolf, or fur bear that has been hunted or trapped. That cleans it up for enforcement, and it also cleans it up for the public on what that actually means. So we don't have to debate anymore if trap was included in what was previously passed.
Any questions for Ron on that? Thank you. Any other questions for Ron on these proposals that are going to come forward tomorrow?
Okay.
Thank you very much for your work and your presentation.
Thank you.